Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast, hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the health services director at Fort Novosel. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's show, the team discusses holistic health and fitness.
Hello, Fort Novosel. Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt here, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the host for the podcast Lister Health Talks. Thank you for joining us again on another exciting topic. Hey, if you're new to the podcast and you haven't already liked or subscribed to us on Spotify or Apple, I encourage you to do so. And if you haven't had a chance, if you're new to the podcast and you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes, I encourage you to do so. We're really committed to giving you relevant content that really stands the test of time. And I think at every moment and in every episode, you're going to appreciate that. We try and keep them brief so you can keep tied in with us. We don't want to keep it too long, but we think that we have a lot of good stuff that we want to provide to the Fort Novosel and as well as the Wiregrass area if you're listening in. But for today, I'm going to dive right in into a lot of health promotion. That's really what this is all about, is promoting the health of the Fort Novosel and the greater community here. And so today, my two guests are Lieutenant Colonel Keller, a return guest to the podcast. He's the Deputy Chief of Behavioral Health and a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And as well, I also want to welcome Captain Michelle Pasco. She's the Chief of Physical Therapist and a physical therapist as her day job. Both the individuals are certainly welcome guests to the show and should be pretty familiar to many of you across Fort Novosel, as they are very well engaged with our community. You know, when we talk about health and fitness, we like to look at it from a holistic perspective, and the way the Army unpackages that is through the Holistic Health and Fitness Program, or as many of us call it, H2F. There's five components to it. I think many of you can appreciate that: physical, mental, spiritual, sleep, and nutritional. And I should say readiness behind each one of those. But in all honesty, it's about how do we engage in your health holistically, obviously, as the name goes, but in a way that optimizes your health and really gets after it in a proactive fashion. And so we're going to dive right into the content. We have quite a bit we want to unpackage today, but I'm really excited about digging into it. I want to turn it over to Captain Pasco first as we kind of dig into the content and how we can really talk about the physical readiness aspect.
So just a few things. The first is to get up and move regularly. So if you fly, or if you sit a lot for your job, or if you drive a lot, all of those things in the 21st century make us sit just a lot more than we're made for. And so oftentimes just making sure that we get up and move regularly, typically every hour, interrupt a sitting period with 15 minutes, just get up and move, go to the bathroom, get some water. The second thing is to warm up and cool down before you exercise. So make sure that you can bring some increase in body temperature, increase your heart rate before you exercise, and you'll feel a lot better doing it, and you won't have to come see me as often.
Oh, wow. We all do PT every day, and I can tell you that definitely the days, in fact, I know Captain Pasco, you were there with a PT session I was in just recently this week, where I know for a fact I did not heed that advice.
That may be correct.
Because I told you just recently that I was much shorter than I expected to be at this very not demanding physical training exercise. But, you know, in all honesty, too, it's I have this handy-dandy watch. I've been trying to avoid keeping these smartwatches, and it has been surprising to me to watch how many non-steps, I should say, I do. It's so low in volume. And our clinic has really long hallways. I should be able to get it add on PT, but all really good things. What are some common injuries you see that come to your clinic?
I definitely see a lot lifting injuries there for the back. So we know that the back is a very strong part of our body. It's made to be kind of like the mast of our body. It's incredibly resilient. But if we expect it to be able to load a lot of heavy weight very quickly without making sure it's ready to do so, that's typically when we see injuries at the gym. So oftentimes I will tell people, make sure that you do something that moves the back and that loads the back, maybe at 50% of what your capacity is, of what you're going to be lifting or moving or doing, and you'll be feeling a lot better, and you won't have to throw out your back deadlifting or picking up your kids going to daycare.
I'm going to guess that those increased since the ACFT, the increase, is that, have you seen a little bit more since then?
Definitely, definitely, sir. I think the biggest thing we've seen is we know people can lift heavy weight, but oftentimes they go for a long period of time without maybe deadlifting in a long time. And so then we see them throw out their backs or get injured doing something with their unit. So I would just say, hey, if you know you're going to be taking a test relatively soon, you want to make sure that you're actually doing that exercise in preparation for it.
Yeah, and I think it was either you or, and almost definitely an NCO, that really hammered it home that, you know, it used to be in the age of the APFT, everybody remembers that four-letter word, right? You could really rush to success in those last couple weeks, but not the case for the ACFT, is that right?
That's exactly right. Typically, we recommend about 3 months of good programming prior to the test. So that really leaves you maybe during the summertime, taking some months off, taking a break over the holidays. But really, once you get back into the swing of things for the school year, making sure you prepare well.
Yeah. It's a fun test, I think, now.
I think so, too.
But if you're not prepared for it, it's not going to be fun. And you'll have fun in the physical therapy clinic.
Exactly.
Hey, what's some ways, you know, somebody does get injured? What do we do? We just call the appointment line, or what are some other ways we can get to you?
Absolutely. So we have sick call every morning from 6 o'clock to 7:30, but we also have a direct access walk-in clinic on Tuesdays at 1300, and you do not need a referral for either one of those. For the direct access clinic in the Tuesday afternoons, you just need to make sure your injury is less than 3 months old, and we can see you. It's on a walk-in basis, so come on by.
Wow, that is really awesome, because I can tell you from experience that you don't always have to get that, and usually you get the hand up and say, go get a referral. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to hear that you can just walk straight in to physical therapy. Well, thank you so much for that. And looking forward to having a little bit more conversation on it. But I just want to flip over and give some time over to Lieutenant Colonel Keller. Now, I'm sure the listeners heard me say physical, mental, spiritual, sleep, and nutritional. And so when they hear behavior health, they think I'm going to ask questions about mental, but I'm going to go straight to sleep. Because in our last podcast with you, we touched on it a little bit, but I'd like to dive a little bit more in. So what's some tips that you would say to empower our sleep readiness?
Well, you know, a lot of our patients that will come see us, a majority of them will have problems with sleep. Sleep's one of the first things that will go when people have trouble in their life and starts experiencing some struggles with the stressors. So some basic things to help people try to improve their sleep situation is just beyond a routine. Routine is key. Our bodies love routine. Going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time. And if people are really struggling, they need to keep that pattern even on days off to kind of help get their body, their muscle memory, their brain muscle that be just the amount of sleep that they need. You know, we're targeting about 7 hours of sleep minimum. You know, we need about 7 hours of sleep as adults. 18 and younger, it just keeps going up. So, but we need about 7 to 9 hours of sleep to get our bodies through the day. Some people would think that's a huge amount of number. I don't have that much time in my life. Well, you know, you need to make time for yourself. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're getting that quality amount of sleep. So be sure people are putting their tablets and their phones away hour before bedtime, so that blue light's not telling their mind that it's the daytime, because we're always using that melatonin-cortisol balance. You know, mm-hmm. we need to activate the melatonin and not the cortisol in our head. So that's going to help us fall asleep a little easier. Have a room where it's only for sleep. It's only going to have for sleep in the bedroom for, again, a cool, calm, quiet environment. Mm-hmm. You know, decrease the stimuli, get the TVs out of the bedroom, and that's just where you can be your sleep sanctuary. So make sure that you're avoiding caffeine. You know, if you're having problems falling asleep, you should be avoiding caffeine after lunch. That should be sure your last meal with caffeine. Because caffeine has a 6-hour half-life. After 6 hours, you still have 50% of that caffeine active in your blood.
Wow.
So, you know, that's going to continue to stimulate you, keep you awake, and have a harder time to fall asleep if you're drinking caffeine throughout the day.
Yeah.
And pre-workout. People don't correlate pre-workout with caffeine when they think about their caffeine intake.
Sure.
I've known people that's their only caffeine source.
Oh.
It's too much.
Oh, wow.
So avoid a pre-workout, you know, after afternoon if you're having trouble falling asleep.
Yeah, that's great. I love the routine piece, because I am guilty of that the most. For some reason, I think and believe that on Friday nights, I can go wild by staying up till 11. And that's at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half after when I normally go. And it takes me almost the whole weekend to recover from that single little hour. Not the same about 10 years ago, but I can definitely feel those impacts, and I appreciate it. And to your point about you can do it, right? Like you really can. You just have to settle down and figure out what your routine is. I think I've had the great fortune of talking to a couple of folks who've just recently retired. And some of them have said, either implied or we've just gotten right to it, that, you know, the first thing they realize is they're able to get a routine of sleep in, you know, and they feel rest and recovered, and, you know, they're not rushing, and you don't have to wait to retirement to do that.
That's
you know?
Right.
So, No, that's good. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I think we can all be a little bit better at sleep, and I think energy drinks. I mean, particularly, I just think of the soldiers, you know, heading over to the gym. Now you had just had me thinking about it. Going to the gym, hitting that pre-workout at 1700 or 1800. Mm. I mean, there's no way. And then I'm guessing they're gonna drink something else in the morning to get things going. Maybe another pre-workout. Hopefully not. But
it's usually one of the first things that go too is sleep. And when you start having trouble with sleep, that's when people are going to have trouble coping with their stressors.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, I'm going to flip topic a little bit over. Now we are going to dive a little bit more into mental health. You know, September, we're talking about suicide awareness, prevention, you know, really bringing awareness to it because it's still a very significant situation across our nation, but we focus in on the Army. We are under a little bit more of the microscope than other cohorts and populations, and so that also gives us the opportunity to really dive in deep. I know here at the clinic we're going to have a host of different activities across the month. But what are some things that we can think about, Colonel Keller, as we're diving into Suicide Awareness Month?
It's just awareness, being aware of others, having a good, you know, what's the pulse of your formation, making sure that, you know, when you get to know your troops, you get to know when someone's having a bad day, if they don't look like they're in their normal day to day, if they look like they're struggling, you know, ask them, how are they doing? Yeah. It basically is just checking on each other. You know, it's just, and people will often forget that. They'll just kind of brush it off or not pay attention. It's part of just fall back on those ACE principles of ask. Mm-hmm. Ask is the first of ACE, A-C-E. So, yeah. So ask people, how are they doing? You know, are they having a hard time?
Yep.
And more often than not, you know, if you spend a little bit of time with them and you seem genuine, they're going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to care for them, make sure that they're getting the right direction, you know, make sure they're being, and then they're escorted to those places. So those resources that are available here on post, we have our MFLEC and Chaplain are a great initial resource for people. And then if they need to elevate that their care, they can come see us at Behavior Health. We're open 7:30 to 1600, walk-ins every day, no referral is needed, then come see us.
Yeah, I'm just always impressed by, you know, our ability to access, and it hurts me a little bit when I hear that, oh, we weren't able to get in and get to see an appointment. No, we're going to see you, right? So if, like, I have a friend who's really struggling with, you know, whatever it is, but let's just say, you know, they have a suicide ideation or something that really grasps them. What do I do for the, can I just walk in as well over here at Behavioral Health?
You can. People that are having acute problems, they're in crisis. Those people are going to see that day.
And there's the new number, right? It's not, I mean, 911 you can always call, right? And of course you can go to an ER at any time. They're going to take care of you. That's how it goes. But what's the new number?
988, sir.
So I'm going to turn back over to Captain Pasco because, you know, both sleep and I think, you know, mental health, there's a huge tie there to physical activity. And I don't know, what kind of thoughts do you have for us on what does that look like? You know, do I go and do, you know, a quick run at the end of a stressful day, or is it more proactive? I don't know, what's from your opinion, the best way to go about that and empower health and sleep?
Great question. I think the biggest thing is finding what is best for you. Mm. And many people prefer different ways of physical activity. We know physical activity is the number one way to help prevent mental health conditions. We know it's a good thing for our mental health. You can kind of treat it like self-care. Mm. So if someone likes going on walks or if someone likes going on ultra marathons, mm-hmm. Either way is a great option to introduce some increased endorphins in your body.
Mm.
And so sometimes it is that 15-minute break at lunchtime, that's all you have, but at least you're making time for yourself that day.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is making more of a plan and get up early in the morning, get your workout in, your 60-minute workout, or it's something that you're doing with your kids in the evening after work. But any form of those is a way to get some physical activity in, and it's great for your sleep and great for your mental health.
The thing that I'm hearing right now is discipline and routine, right? Mm-hmm. You got to incorporate it, and sometimes it's just doing it. You got to get one step in front of the other, and you know, first step may not mean anything, but the second step, now you started building a little bit of a trend. And by third and fourth step, or third or fourth time doing a workout or getting some discipline, now you got sequence. Mm-hmm. And sequence creates production and effectiveness. So I think that's really powerful. Well, I really appreciate you both. I want to give you another chance, opportunity, if you have anything else that you want to mention about either any of the topics we have, but also just anything health promotion. You guys have such a wealth and such a large menu of things that you do for us. And we've had to tailor you down into a tight little tiny podcast. But anything else, I'll pass it over to Colonel Keller first, if there's anything else you'd like to provide to the audience.
I just want to remember folks that they have access to Military One Source. You don't need a referral. They can call Military One Source, get behavioral health therapy treatment, 12 sessions free of charge. So that's available to them, just a phone call. They also can help not with just mental health, but also with financial planning, problems with PCS, ETS. So I just use Military One Source for service members, and our TRICARE beneficiaries do not need a referral to seek behavioral health services off post.
Oh, good.
So they don't need to go to their PCM and add another appointment to seek help. So that's available to them.
Yeah, those are good reminders. Thank you for that. And Kat Paskett, what else do you have for us?
I just want to talk about two initiatives and programs that we have out here that are open for everybody. The first is, you might have seen the posters on or on our website or on our Facebook for the Spine Resiliency Program. They're basically workout programs for preventing or even just managing your own back and neck pain. We made them for aviators and crew members specifically, but they're just QR codes. You can watch videos of me teaching you the exercises, and they're great ways to help manage some things and get a good workout in, but then also help build that routine for you so you don't have to come up with those things on your own. And the second would be, we do offer an ACFT performance optimization class. So you've seen those posters around the gym, again on social media. You can contact myself or the Armed Forces Wellness Center, and we can get you set up with your unit for an ACFT class where we essentially help you get better at performing. We help manage your injuries, but we also teach you some tips and tricks so you can help improve your scores and overall pass rates.
Yeah, that's great. It's been fun to watch you out there in the gym. challenging, I'll use that word, challenging our many units across post as they're working through that. Well, I want to thank you both again for attending. You know, if you're interested in more about holistic health and fitness, you know, FM7-22 for our leaders out there, you know, I encourage you to take that, go download it from the APD Army Publishing Directorate website and really dig into it. The principles and the practices and the doctrine there are really going to be super applicable to how you operate day to day. And particularly when we're talking about, you know, initial entry soldiers here, whether they're enlisted, officer warrant, you know, this is a good time to really get in and invest in them, in their routines, their discipline, and their health. Of course, I like to plug that on our Facebook, we keep that very, very current, and we will put a host of resources on there for you. If you're like, hey, I missed something in the podcast, maybe I don't want to rewind and listen to the whole thing, we'll make sure we have stuff on there. Next month, we're going to be talking about women's health, specifically, you know, about mammograms. And I'm also going to just give you a cliffhanger that we're going to have a very special guest attend with us during the next episode. So make sure that you listen in. The big message here, you know, discipline is important as it relates to your health, but the big thing is just to get ahead of it, because if you're waiting to respond to it, you know, we have quality healthcare that is there to help respond and address and go after outcomes for your health, but really about getting ahead, having balance, having discipline in these five component areas: physical, mental, spiritual, sleep, and nutritional. Don't do just one, do them all. Find a way, have a plan, be disciplined, and you're going to be better. Again, this is Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister, but also the host. Just really appreciating all of the listeners out there for subscribing and listening to our podcast. I want to thank our guests again, Captain Pasco and Lieutenant Colonel Keller, for joining us. And this is, again, signing off, Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, reminding you that your healthiest chapter is ahead and the only way is forward.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic's Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. Join us in October as we discuss Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Stay healthy, Fort Novosel.